Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Mini Crush Monday. I've got Noel virtually in front of me.
You know, Chuck, I can't see your face, man. You're just a weird amorphous square. There you are. Well, hey.
Why didn't he say something,
It was one of those things, again, where I was looking at my face, and I thought it was your face.
You got to stop that.
Look, I can't help that we have a similar shaped melon, bro.
Behind me, on a couch in the basement, I have my daughter.
Oh.
Because
what's she up to over there? What's keeping her busy that she's not going to come crawling under the table there?
Well, she, you know, we hate to do it, but she's on the iPad with some headphones. Nice. It's just, we're doing what we got to do, Noel. We got a lockdown. Emily's at her job.
What's her iPad jam?
You know, we got lots of little kid apps, learning apps.
Nice.
And some YouTube for kids.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
So she does games and she watches some stuff, and you know, it's just tough these days. You can't say, "Hey, Ruby, I'm going downstairs for an hour and a half."
Yes.
You just entertain yourself.
Please don't set yourself on fire.
So she's down there and she's great.
She's a sweetheart. Everyone loves her on the Crushers page, by the way. They live for her cameos, as do I.
It's been a minute, so the irony here is she's not going to come over today, Noel.
You don't think so?
No, she's glued to that fucking screen.
She's all iPad'd up. I hear you, man. Yeah. Oh, dude, I am armed with some discussion today, my friend, but I'm going to wait till the time is right to unleash it.
Well, what the fuck? How can you say that?
Okay.
What does that mean?
Okay, Chuck. Well,
what do you mean armed with discussion? What do you want to talk about?
I didn't know if you were going to do like a stream this section, but I just wanted to sing the praises.
Oh, well, I am.
Well, then I'm going to wait.
Okay. In fact, it's funny that you mentioned that, Noel. There's going to be even a more robust stream than usual because time is so short. I feel bad. I'm not able to put as much time into writing fun stuff for the show. So I'm cribbing a lot from the Movie Crushers page on these next two.
Yeah.
And one of them is a sort of more robust stream this where everyone is giving their recommendations, which is kind of fun. But we're going to start, though, Noel, with a little catch up. I think everyone wants to know you're alive, clearly. You were not killed by mystery date.
No, it was
she
good.
Is not here wearing your face.
No, that was last night, actually. It's funny that you mentioned that.
Yeah. You want to talk about it?
Yeah, sure. It was great. We had, you know, chatted online a few times. FaceTimed or whatever, had
sure.
like core dates and really hit it off. And both were comfortable enough with each other's levels of core that she decided we agreed she'd come over. And I made dinner. And
what'd you make?
I do a Thai coconut curry chicken situation with coconut milk and curry paste and kefir lime leaves, the whole nine. And yeah, it was great. She really enjoyed it. We had a really lovely time. Did I tell you what her name is?
Well, yeah, that was the whole gag.
Okay.
Was that
yeah, that's
she,
right.
She's trying to take over your life.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. She did not do that thing. She's a very lovely person, and I think we shall probably meet again.
Good. Well, I don't want to ask you to kiss and tell, certainly, but did you make love?
Oh, Chuck.
Did you make sweet love?
I am a gentleman, and I cannot reveal such details. No, we did not, Chuck. We had filthy, nasty sex. I'm kidding.
Is there any other kind?
There's making tender love. Yeah.
Oh, see, I grew up Southern Baptist, so it was all described to me as filthy and nasty.
They didn't call it making
whoopee.
Not something
you should ever do.
Yeah, totally. Remember making whoopee? Where'd that come from?
That was a very 70s thing.
Was that a 70s thing? I thought it was like a 50s thing.
Oh, well.
No, you're probably right. I'm just saying it just sounds like a...
I heard it a lot in the 70s on like game shows. That was sort of the go-to on game shows when you wanted to say that. You would say, making whoopee.
Yes.
So, Noel, I have another update.
Oh, boy.
It's very curious. So I was hanging out with my friend, and I'm going to do a lot of this nameless because I don't want to like get anyone in trouble or anything for spilling secrets. But I have a friend that works, you know, many friends that work in the film industry, as do you. But one of them, I was doing a Zoom with the other day with some old pals, and he said that he's going back to work on a movie in August. And I was like, really? And how are they doing that? And here's what they're doing. And I thought everyone would find this fairly interesting because, you know, Hollywood's trying to work this out, like best practices. And this is a big, big movie with a big, big movie star. And they are quarantining essentially and bubbling the entire cast and crew for 3 months. So it's essentially like being on location in your own town. You have to stay at this hotel. You have to get all meals brought to you, 3 meals a day. You're getting paid for 7 days a week, which is cool. Obviously they got to do that, you know, even though they're only working, I guess, I don't know if they're doing sixes or if it's a 5 day week, probably sixes with 1 day down. But, you know, they're quarantining. Everyone is, the entire cast and crew has to stay there and can't leave at all.
This is what we talked about. This was our theory, right?
Yeah. And they're being shuttled, you know, to and from work. And they're obviously going to still get temperature checks. And I'm not sure about regular testing. But the idea is, like what you were describing, is just bubble everyone up. And, you know, he lives here in town with his wife and he won't be able to see her. He'll be miles from her. And won't be able to see her for 3 months, as will, you know, many, many people will be away from their families, which he has mixed feelings. He needs the work, obviously.
Sure.
And 7 day pay is good, but it kind of stinks. And the big, big star in this movie is a big, big jerk. He's worked with him before and he's not looking forward to it.
So what's that quarantine situation like? Obviously, there's like premium quarantine for the big, big star, right?
Well, I will say this. I don't want to give it all away, but this big, big star is not, I don't think, going to be quarantining in the hotel because they work so much in Atlanta that they bought a big place here in Atlanta. Mm. So, and they get what they want. So yeah. This, he doesn't like working with this person because they, there's what I found, Noel, on crews with big movie stars is there's three ways it can go. They can be really friendly to the cast and crew. They can be friendly to the crew, but not treat their crew well at the same time. Mm-hmm. So like those are two different things. I hope everyone understands that they can be, they don't have to be some big raving jerk to be not friendly to the crew. You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
Like not friendly to the crew means you, it's all about you. You keep people waiting. And that's what this person does. They show up when they want. They leave when they want. To the point where another friend was working with this person on a movie last year with another really, really big co-star, a woman. And that big co-star, an actor, said, I'm not going to come anymore unless he starts showing up on time. Because he's leaving everybody waiting. Mm-hmm. Like other A-list actors.
Yeah,
because he's calling the shots, you know.
That's rough. That's just not a good look. I don't know, man.
Shitty.
Yeah, I would hope that no matter what level of like success or fame that I ever reached, I'm assuming that I have peaked, Chuck. But
yeah, you peaked a little while ago. No, you're on the downslope.
Oh, damn it, Chuck! Don't say that. Come on.
When you started Mini Crush, you started the downslope.
Well, anyway, I would hope that when I attain my next stage of fame and stardom, that I will not let it like ruin me. You know, I mean, it's something you have to kind of actively do too. You have to kind of like keep yourself from becoming a monster. And if you have just handlers and yes people that just like prop you up every step of the way, you're going to become a piece of shit unless you are just a really glowingly wonderful person to start with and you're just somehow immune to all that. So it's a slippery slope, man.
Well, I mean, I got to say, you know, I made my way up as a PA. And then when we did the Stuff You Should Know TV show, Josh and I were the, and this isn't bragging, but it's just the facts of the matter. We were the two most important people on the set because we were the dudes from Stuff You Should Know.
Right.
And even on that tiny little show with a tiny little budget on that tiny little network, the treatment is different and people are trying to do everything that you want. Mm. And it's a weird situation to all of a sudden be in. Mm. And, you know, we were super cool because we were just, you know, we loved all the crew and we wanted to be good guys and make everything happen. But I can see how these people sort of get a little power mad and are just like, I'll be there when I want to be there. I mean, it sucks, but
yeah,
that's why it happens.
Like I said, though, my theory is you already have to have that monster somewhere inside you, though. You know what I mean?
Oh, I agree. Totally.
It's just like people that become jerks when they are drunk. They're already kind of jerks.
Yeah.
Like when I get drunk, I get really bubbly and goofy and just like, you know, tell
dorky jokes.
Yeah,
you and I are both smiley friendly guys.
And I know people that get dark and sinister and it's like, whoa, you know, and like that, those people have that thing within them already. So,
no, for sure. Yeah. It's, yeah. And this person, this big movie star had a previous career where they were very, very successful and, you know, kind of came into movies already with that kind of pull, I think.
Oh man, you're really narrowing it down, Chuck, for the for the home sleuths, the home movie sleuths. Owns a big place in Atlanta, works here a lot. Possibly an athlete, Chuck? An athlete?
Well, let's just leave it there. But I gotta say though, anyone who leaves people waiting and costs people money,
I agree,
and puts people out, is just like Tom Cruise did that on the Mission Impossible movie Emily worked on. For the Moab shoot, she told the story where it was the stuff where he was mountain climbing or whatever.
Right.
You know, he's just waiting. He's in his trailer getting whatever the heck he wants to get done. And everyone's standing around in the hot sun for hours and hours and hours.
That's even worse when there's like a nasty climate situation to contend with. You think you want to get in and out, just get it done. Think of others. That's all I say. I think that's what my mother taught me. Think of others.
You should always be thinking of others.
Yeah.
All right, Noel. So we're going to move on to real content. And I also want to say, if there's anyone out there that works for Facebook, tell them I'm about to quit it because... have you seen the new Facebook?
Yeah, they streamlined it, Chuck. You don't like the new streamlined look?
Oh, are you on the new Facebook?
I guess. I don't know. I clicked a button and it changed a little bit.
You clicked what button?
There was some button where it like...
That said, would you like to see the new Facebook?
I can't remember. Now it looks kind of the same to me. What do you not like about
it? Well, I mean, the new Facebook is vastly different, so you would know if you were on it. It's a complete redesign. And I accidentally clicked... to try it.
Yeah, that's what I thought happened to me too, but now it looks normal again.
Well, I can't go back to normal. I read a very small number, they said, overall people, they are not allowing to go back. And I'm one of them.
Damn.
And I hate the new one. Damn. And it looks awful and it's not intuitive. It looks like shit. Mm. And so if anyone works for Facebook, tell them that I might pull all of our social medias away from Facebook because I hate it so much and they won't let me switch back.
Well, Chuck, you're kind of
take my ball and go home.
You kind of lighten up Instagram these days, so maybe it's time to switch to that. Although it's a little harder to do polls and stuff. Although you can do it on, you know, Chuck, I'll tell you got to get into the stories now. Stories, you can do polls with yes or no questions or with multiple answers. You can make them, and then people answer, and you see the answers, and they expire automatically after 24 hours. So you wouldn't even have to go and delete them like you do with
interesting
movie crest stuff. This is something that might be worth experimenting. Not that Facebook doesn't also own Instagram, but it's a far superior platform as far as I'm concerned.
I know, but I would love just as a show of, anti-support. I would love to pull our shit from Facebook because I'm just can't believe they're just like, no, sorry, can't switch back because you accidentally hit a button.
And it looks like crap. I remember seeing it and being like, ew, did not ask for this. And I don't know. I guess I lucked out. Maybe I didn't commit because it looks like the old way to me. I use Facebook so infrequently, really just for this show and for like some of the Facebook groups that we have for stuff that I want you to know in Ridiculous History. Speaking of Zuckerberg, which we kind of are tangentially, did you see that amazing photo of him surfing in Hawaii with his face just slathered in like sunscreen? he looks like... Oh my, he looks like he's wearing a creepy face mask, like Hannibal Lecter or something.
I'm looking Zuckerberg surfing. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's pretty wild.
There's all kinds of memes with the Joker.
I made a few. Yeah, I made one with remember the Joker's girlfriend in Batman, the first Batman, when she gets burned with acid or something, I guess, and then she wears that creepy like Harlequin mask. I made a meme where it was like a split screen of Zuckerberg on the left and the Harlequin mask.
Boy, he's really taken his son seriously.
He really
is. Should. He's all zinced up. Goodness me.
I made another one that said, everyone, colon, could Mark Zuckerberg get any more white? And then Mark Zuckerberg, hold my beer. I was proud of it.
That was good, Noel. I like it. All right, so we're going to start off with, this is a lot of Crusher stuff from the Movie Crushers page. This is from one of our oldest friends, Austin Debski, posted a really cool question. What artifact would you like to see Indiana Jones seek and uncover next? Noel, you got an artifact?
What an artifact? Did he already do the Crystal Skull?
Oh, come on.
How about the Shrine of the Silver Monkey?
I've never heard of that.
It was a game show on Nickelodeon called Legends of the Hidden Temple. And at the end, you had to like go into the temple, and there was always like the Shrine of the Silver Monkey.
That's pretty good. Now, I got to say, some of these are jokes, but I'm going to read those because they're kind of funny. Lee Lastovica says a COVID vaccine. That's pretty good. John Colton says Indiana Jones, colon, the search for a viable third party candidate. Oh, these are good. David Mills wants him to go after Jimmy Hoffa. Sylvia Sanchez wants him to go after her waistline. Yeah, a lot of these are funny. Ooh, this is a good one. Joe Gathercole, one of our old friends, says the Fountain of Youth. I think that was a rumor for one of the, before Crystal Skulls came out, that it was going to be the Fountain of Youth.
I think that's a pretty big one.
That'd be cool.
And what's the deal? So here in Atlanta, you know, on the street where our office is, Ponce de Leon, you know, who is the, you know, the discoverer, I guess, of theoretically the Fountain of Youth. Wasn't there some discussion that there was a mini Fountain of Youth, like where our building is or something? Or like there was a...
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. Then that's...
Where Ponce City Market
is?
Yeah,
yeah.
You know what? That rings a bell, Noel. Look that up. Get on that. I'm going to read off some more of these. Jeremy Barney says, the Bong of Destiny. Okay. Let me see here. Colin Heffernan says, Excalibur. Oh. I guess that would dovetail nicely with the Sean Connery one. Because wasn't that the, what were they looking for? That chalice?
Yeah, that's the, Jesus's juice cup. Who described it as that?
The sippy cup?
The grail.
Yeah, Excalibur. That would be cool. I like it. Yeah, someone else said, our friend with a backwards name, Culver Matthews, says Excalibur as well.
Didn't it get thrown into the lake or something? The Lady of the Lake held it aloft and all that stuff?
Yeah.
But first he pulled it out of the stone, and then it ended up in a lake? I'm confused.
Well, young Arthur pulled it from the stone.
But how did it end up in the lake?
I don't remember. It was thrown into the lake at some point. I got to brush up on that. It's been a while. You ever seen the movie Excalibur?
Yeah, it's cool. In the 80s? Is it John Borman, right?
I think so, yeah.
It's a great movie. It's a very epic epic film. I agree.
Epic cast.
I totally agree.
Do you have the news there on the
I'm trying to find it. Let me type in it. I need to broaden or narrow my search.
Okay.
Here we go. Keep it going.
Kurt Klug says the Tomb of Genghis Khan. That would be interesting. Kenneth Hannon says the Dildo of Mussolini. All right. John Tharp says the Trump pee-pee tapes. Most of these are very funny. I like this.
That's fake news, Chuck. There's no pee-pee tapes.
I'm not going to even read this one.
Oh, wow.
I'm blushing.
Goodness.
Richard T. Anderson says Poseidon's Trident. Another vote for Excalibur from Owen Terwilliger, one of our old pals. Eric Lugo says Democracy.
Heyo.
Another vote for Jimmy Hoffa from Janet James Allman. All right, those are all pretty good. I think I read most of those, Noel.
So there's a book called Atlanta's Ponce de Leon Avenue, A History. No, it's more just about like the gentrification of the area and stuff. It's not really about, I don't know, Chuck, I might be barking up the wrong tree here.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Quit barking, Noel. I showed Emily this funny meme. Sandra Jane Betts shared this on the Crushers page as Yoda laying there dead. It says, now that I have children, I really understand the scene in Return of the Jedi where Yoda is so tired of answering Luke's questions, he just up and dies. Get a lot of questions as a parent, Noel.
Can you think of, you're at a good question age. I don't get questions anymore. I get just back talk, which isn't the same as questions.
Does that segue?
Can you think of a good one? Can you think of, like, give me a good Ruby question that's been like a real noodle scratcher for you, or one that was very illuminating of the human condition, perhaps?
Oh, I mean, I can't think of a specific one because I get 100 questions before noon every day, you know? There's a lot of questions.
It's true.
When you're that age. It's great. It's inquisitive.
It is.
And I always try my best to give good answers, you know? I don't want to give pat answers or brush it to the side. Like I think can happen sometimes with kids. We treat her not like an adult, but we try to speak to her like an adult, you know? I tell her to get fucked twice a day.
Whoa. Hey.
Just kidding.
All right. Hey, you got to say get bent. That's much more child appropriate. Did I tell you what my kid does to me when I swear? She says, "Dad, did you just say a potty word?" And she's totally fucking with me. She doesn't really care, but she knows that it drives me nuts. And so she's always like, "Was that a potty word, Dad? How can you use such violent language?"
Well, you know, I'm on record as being not bothered by words.
Totally. And
we have cursed sort of... just casually around her so much, I don't think she knows it's a thing. Maybe that's the way to go.
I think so too, because the real allure of it is when it's like, you know,
verboten.
The forbidden fruit or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I agree completely. I agree. And like I said, my kid, she finds it to be off-putting. Like she wouldn't do it.
Right.
Because she's used to hearing it, and she actually thinks it's not cool. Because she's some of the people that the kids that she knows that do it, they do it like for shock value, and she ain't got no time for that. She's you know,
that's great.
Yeah,
she'll get there one day. That's a great age when they think cursing is bad.
Yeah,
and she'll make that transition as well. It's all about transitions.
And I always say, you know what? You know, here's the thing: swearing is fun. It's like a spice. You got to like throw it in there, you know, and it's got to be in balance. You know, the force has to be in balance.
Well, I've got a complete potty mouth. I'm the worst.
No.
I don't mind, though.
I know worse.
All right, we're going to move on, Noel. I promised a more robust stream this because one of our oldest friends, Yvonne Baudet, said, "All right, Crushers, let's do a stream this." And this, everyone should go check this out because I know people are always looking for good recommendations for TV and movies and stuff. And this is a good long list. And I'll start mine out, and then I'll throw to you, and then we'll go to the list. I finished What We Do in the Shadows a couple of nights ago. Finished season 2. Great. Great episode. And great just 2 seasons. It's just the best. It's amazing.
I need to get back into it. I only watched a few episodes, but it's a delight.
Oh, man, it's just the best. And then I've been watching by myself late at night this survival challenge show that is on Netflix now, but I think it started out on History Channel and like Netflix grabbed it. It's called Alone.
Is that like Naked and Afraid?
Well, except it's good and way more legit. It's like these are real survival experts who are all dropped off in, you know, at varying different places at the same place. And the season I'm watching is the Arctic up in Canada.
Oh, shit.
And they all know their shit, man. It's really good. It's not sensational or anything. It's, you know, they're legit. They're making snares. They're hunting. They're fishing. They're making their own everything.
It looks pretty cinematic, too, from the look of it. Like, I saw a trailer, and I almost thought it wasn't like a doc. Like, it looked almost like a movie, kind of. It was pretty cool.
Don't be fooled, because it's all self-shot.
Okay. All right.
Like, they give them camera gear, so they're truly alone out there.
I got it.
And you only know that you've won. Like, you don't know what's going on with anyone else because you're not with each other. So you only know you've won when they show up and with a family member, I think, and tell you you've won. But it's interesting, man. I love this. I mean, I grew up camping, and I'm really into the concept of survival and making your own way in the woods. And so I'm into it. I think it's a really, really cool show. If you're into I used to watch Survivor Man, like religiously, one of my favorite shows.
Let me unpack this. Were you saying I used to watch Survivor Man?
No, Survivor Man.
Oh, Survivor Man. Okay.
The name of the show. I can't remember the guy's name now, which is remarkable for how much I watched. God, what was that guy's name? I can't remember. He was good, though. But Alone, I highly recommend if you're into that kind of thing. I'm looking forward to the other seasons. I mean, you got to have a strong stomach, you know, if you can't handle seeing a moose get gutted or a rabbit being degloved.
Oh, that word degloved gives me the creeps. The guy's Survivorman, his name is Les Stroud.
Yeah, Les Stroud. Yeah, that's right. He was good. Never was into Bear Grylls. That was a little more sensational, I think, and not so real. But Alone is good. And then the other night I watched Shadow of a Doubt, an old Hitchcock movie. Emily and I are getting into watching. We got the Criterion Channel on our iTunes TV or whatever, our Apple TV. And I highly recommend it. If anyone can swing the whatever, $6 or $7 a month, Criterion Network is amazing. And I've just got a playlist now, watch list full of classic movies, foreign films, little scene indies, nice. Really good stuff.
Well, to that point, Chuck, if I may, really only $6 or $7?
I can't remember. I mean, I think at the most it's $9.95, okay. Kind of like everything else.
So I just got HBO Max, which is the shit.
It's $11 a month.
Okay, that's totally reasonable. HBO Max, though, has a whole section from Turner Classic Movies, and it's like this amazing hodgepodge of like all these cool classics that I've always thought about but never seen, like Singing in the Rain, things we've talked about, like, Footlight Parade, like a lot of these old Busby Berkeley musicals and stuff. Also, I watched Xanadu the other night. Just for kicks. It's not good, but it's fucking great. Like it's got what's his name, Gene Kelly is in it, and there's all these amazing dance sequences that I always assumed it was just weird like psychedelic roller derby shit, but it's more than that. It's also got like a lot of like, you know, 20s flapper kind of dance sequences, and like, you know, the Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy of Company B kind of like military kind of like dance band kind of stuff, and Gene Kelly and Olivia and John tap dancing together, and then also tons of 80s shit. But yeah, the whole thing is just really good. The selection
is great.
The selection on HBO Max, they have all of the Studio Ghibli movies, so you can watch, you know, everything Miyazaki ever did. They've got tons of cool stuff from Adult Swim. They've got lots of classic Looney Tunes. They've got obviously all the HBO stuff. There's a new show called I Will Destroy You that everyone is just screaming about that I'm excited to watch, but have not yet. But really excited about that. I think I might cancel Netflix. Go with HBO Max and maybe add on Criterion, because I'm in a real headspace for watching all this, filling these gaps, Chuck, holes, if you will.
Yeah, we're kind of there too. It was fun watching that Hitchcock movie the other night. It's supposedly Hitch's favorite movie of his own. And it was fantastic. Joseph Cotten, it was really good stuff, very noir-y. And the central mystery is sort of revealed in Act 2, and which makes a very interesting Act 3 is all I will say. Really, really enjoyed it. And Criterion is great too, because the way they curate even their page is really interesting, I think. They group things into themes. They'll be like directed by, or female directors, or Black Lives Matter section. They just have a lot of creative ways that they curate their page. Aside from just like, here's all the movies in alphabetical order.
Do you do it on Roku, or what do you do it on?
I do Apple TV.
Apple TV, okay, because I'm an Amazon Fire TV user.
Gotcha.
Probably there's an app for it.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. It's good stuff.
I'm into
it. Highly recommended.
I'm looking at it now.
And I was texting Casey last night, of course, and he's, you know, that's his lifeblood. He's all over Criterion Channel. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're going to get going on this page with recommendations. We'll just buzz through a bunch of these. Old friend Zach Pointer is watching The Runaways. Don't know that. Our oldest of friends, the wonderful Stellan Carlson, says he's watching Parks and Rec for the millionth time. A lot of people are rewatching stuff, it seems like. Lena Carroll is watching Dr. Foster. Have never heard of that. Have you heard of these, Noel?
The Runaways is it a movie about The Runaways? Like with
I don't think so.
Joan Jett and stuff? No, there's a movie. No. There's a movie from 2010 called The Runaways. He must be talking about some kind of maybe new.
Yeah, I
like,
think it's a TV show.
Sci-fi superhero thing. What was the next one, Chuck? I'm sorry, I was in Google.
Dr. Foster.
I don't know Dr. Foster.
I don't either.
Let's see.
Dawn Lozano, one of our oldest pals, says she's halfway through The Morning Show and likes it way more than she thought she
That's
would.
One of those Apple originals that I will probably never see because I just don't need another streaming subscription.
I've got too many. I've got that one too, Noel.
It's got Steve Carell in it, I believe, right? And it's supposed to be good. I'm sure it's great.
I don't know.
They've obviously got a lot of money to throw at these shows, but I just, I don't know. It's too much for me. Dr. Foster looks cool. Is it like a British? It looks, yeah, BBC One. It looks British.
You can never go wrong with the BBC, Noel.
The Beeb. Auntie Beeb.
Now, have you watched Dark?
I started to. And it's very intriguing. It makes me feel like it's going to go in a, like a Lost kind of direction, like an Unstuck in Time, you know, alternate reality kind of situation. But I have not finished it. But I know people are absolutely nuts about it.
I have not seen it. Rob Andrew is watching it, and he says it may have jumped the shark partway through season three, in his opinion. All right, here's one. Terry Kaleo, one of our old friends, says, I'll Be Gone in the Dark and Perry Mason, both on HBO. I've heard that new Perry Mason is great.
I watched the first episode. It's definitely got that vibe. It's very cool. The production design is, it reminds me of Boardwalk Empire as far as like the real attention to detail, but it's cool. It's like a noir-y kind of, like he's like this grizzled private detective, and it gets real raunchy too. Like there's an Oliver Hardy type character that they're following, and he's like having sex with some like ingenue using like cake, like eating cake off of her naked body.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty filthy, but it's great. And John Lithgow's in it, plays a lawyer, and he's always awesome.
Oh yeah, love Lithgow. And then I'll Be Gone in the Dark, I think that's the one Patton Oswalt's wife that's who passed away.
The Golden State Killer.
I want to see that. Is that a movie or is it
it's a
documentary series. Oh man, I definitely need to see that. That was so sad. Michelle McNamara. Yeah, I need to put that on the old list.
Yeah, I mean, I think that her book wasn't finished when she passed, and a lot of her research assistants or some folks in the community helped kind of finish it because she was the definitive. I think her work led to the capture, or a lot of the information led to them turning over some stones that led to the capture of this guy who was a former cop. Really interesting story. Most notorious rapist, serial rapist in California. And murderer, obviously, of course, too.
And what a great great thing to do to ensure her legacy, and that finally came out, you know.
Mm-hmm. For
sure. Such a sad situation. Trevor Halperin also says Dark is great. Becca Liu, one of our old friends, says The Alienist season 2. She loved the first season. She can't wait for this one. I think we saw one. See, I read that book when it came out many, many years ago and loved it. And do you know the premise?
I have not even heard of this.
Yeah, it was a book about it was historical fiction about the first serial killer in New York I don't even know what year it was. I guess it was sometime in the 19th century. And it was really a great book. And I think I watched an episode of the season one and the pilot and liked it. And it was just, you know, how it is, Noel. You got to really commit to a show these days, and I did not commit to that show. Maybe I should have.
It's hard, man, because there's so many. Like, there's even shows where I'm like, oh, this is great. And for whatever reason, not consciously, I just drift away. I don't come back. I find something else, some other shiny object that kind of pulls me off. And then sometimes I go back and I'm delighted. Like, I was that way with Better Call Saul originally. I watched a few episodes, and I was like, oh, this is really cool. But then something just, you know, distracted me and took my attention away. And then
I thought you were all over that.
Well, I was, but that was on the second go round. That was like I had to kind of come back to it and give it another shot again, but not because I didn't like it. It was just something, you know, it wasn't in the stars. But then it became one of my favorite shows of all time. So sometimes I think you got to give, you know, it's annoying too when people say, oh, you got to wait till the fifth episode. That's when it really gets good. And with everything that we've got, you know, vying for our attention, that's a hard sell. Like, that's a hard sell, right? Like,
give 4 hours to something.
Yeah.
Well, what we do in the shadows has been perfect for us because we've got a lot of, don't want to get into all of it, but we got a lot of heavy family stuff going on. in addition to a pandemic and my wife's business floundering because of the pandemic. So we've got a lot of fires burning. And so what we do in the shadows has been a welcome relief just to check out and laugh for a couple of hours every night. Been wonderful.
That's awesome.
Let me see here. Kristen Johnson, I haven't heard of this. Breeders is a British show on Hulu. Darkly comic look at parenting with Martin Freeman and Daisy Haggard. Oh, I love Martin Freeman. Have you seen Umbrella Academy?
I really liked it.
Christina Mardson is big on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard a lot of great things. I think there's a new season coming out.
Oh, that'd be great. I guess it was in production pre-pandemic, which is awesome. It's based on, it's really interesting. You may know this already, Chuck, but it's based on a comic book series created by and written by Gerard Way, the singer of the emo band My Chemical Romance.
Oh, I did not know that.
And he has a real background in comics. He writes a lot for this other property called Doom Patrol. And back in several years ago, when we were still doing video for How Stuff Works, we actually interviewed him at Comic-Con in New York. And he's really like he's not just some vanity project for a rock star. Like, he's into comics before he was in a band. And it's a really fully formed, it's a little twee, like the show Umbrella Academy, but it's good, man. And it's very creative. It reminds me of, like, you know, Watchmen a little bit and things like of that ilk.
I'll have to check that out. I heard it's good. Let me see. Melinda Bacaleo, our oldest of friends, says Letterkenny and What We Do in the Shadows. I've heard a lot of great things about Letterkenny, but did not get to it.
It's very funny. A lot of good memes pulled from that one, just still frames.
Oh, yeah.
There's actually an unfortunate one with one of the characters. They're like these Canadian rednecks, and there's one that's been used for a lot of racist memes, and the guy who plays him in the show has actually spoke out about it and said, "Hey, trolls, stop using my image for your racist memes," and kind of spoke out about, you know, how he supports Black Lives Matter movement and all this stuff and wishes people would stop. Because that's hard when you're like a public figure and you have a very distinct look and then it gets co-opted and used in a way that you don't approve of. That's gotta suck, man. You know? Yeah.
I think so. Oh, here's Bonnie Jacques, who I have not seen before. So welcome, Bonnie. Is also watching Alone from History Channel. She said some seasons available on Netflix, new season currently airing on TV. A great outdoor adventure, hard to stop watching. Yeah, I totally agree. Now, I've heard of this show. I May Destroy You. Is that the one you were talking about?
That's right.
This is from Brianna Rossi, says to watch that. What's the prim?
I think it's sort of like, it's about sexual assault. And please forgive my very loose overview, but it's about sort of like working backwards to trace what happened on a night where someone was, the main character, I believe, was assaulted. And there's like a lack of memory, and it almost has this detective-y vibe where it's like she's trying to figure out what happened.
Wait, I'm looking at this now. I just read about this.
Didn't you say you like chewing gum? Didn't you talk about that a while ago?
No.
You never. Okay, so Chewing Gum was a British television show that this woman and creator also had something to do with. And I believe there's a loose connection between Chewing Gum and this. But John Cameron Mitchell is actually the one who I saw really singing its praises. And he compared it to like The Wire and The Sopranos, which was interesting because I don't think it's particularly crimey, but I don't know. I'm really intrigued and I've got to check it out.
Yeah, this is, I know what I read recently is the creator, Michaela Cole, is on the Forbes 30 Under 30, was on that list, and she turned down $1 million offer from Netflix.
Yep.
Because, did you read that?
They wouldn't give her any back end, like at all.
Or
ownership. Her IP. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they would. Mm-hmm. They wanted, like, you know, as we know, every other company in the world wants to own the IP for everything. That's just the name of the game. That's the business. And she said she wanted 5% of her show that she created. And they said, here was the quote. There was just silence on the phone. And they said, it's not how we do things here. Nobody does that. It's not a big deal. And so she said, well, if it's not a big deal, then I'd really like to have that 5%. And I think eventually she went down to 2%, then 1%, and then 0.5%.
Jeez.
And then I'm pretty sure she walked
yeah.
and said, get bent.
It is the name of the game, but I guess it HBO is. Gave her a better deal.
Yeah, it's disappointing. Ownership, man. There's a lot of power in that. So good for her. That's what I say.
I didn't realize she was so young.
How old is she?
I don't know. You said 30 under 30. That may have been a couple of years ago, but still, I assume that she's still relatively close to 30. That's impressive.
Well, I'll have to check that out. It looks great. All right, Noel, I think that wraps it up. You can check out that thread on the Crushers page if you want some good recs and some good back and forth on what people are watching. And you got anything else?
No. Well, really, really quickly, look, I don't want to totally go down a rabbit hole here, but have you ever heard of the record label Burger Records?
No.
They're kind of like a very influential tape label out of Fullerton, California. Like, some of their biggest bands are bands like the Growlers, which are kind of like a psychedelic. All of their stuff is kind of garagey and psychedelic. The Black Lips are the Atlanta band, the Black Lips are associated with them. Anyway, over the weekend, all of these crazy allegations of like them just creating this culture of like, you know, grooming underage girls for like sex with people in the bands and the label owners. And like, you know, they have a record store that's very popular among like teenagers in California, Fullerton. And all of these allegations came out over the weekend. A Instagram called Lured by Burger Records was established. I joined it when it was like 4,000 strong. In a couple of days, it was up to 20,000. And today they just announced the label is closed. Goes down completely. So,
wow.
You know, believe people when they tell these stories, you know. And it was like so many specific instances with different bands all across the culture that this label kind of created for many, many years. They were really influential and apparently just kind of had this culture that was sort of fundamentally part of the fabric of the scene and, you know, the label. And power, it's very powerful when people come out and are empowered to share their stories. And it created real change because they're done.
Well, thankfully that is happening more and more, Noel. Mm-hmm. Use your voice, people.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think that's a great way to end. So thank you, sir. And we'll hit stop and then record again and do this all over again in a few minutes.
Love it.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Bye.
Be safe.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.